Good evening. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Cornelia, and I normally sit with another group right here in San Jose, and we sit early in the morning. So if any of you ever feel inspired to get up early and sit with us at 5:30, you're very welcome. So tonight, I would like to talk about the paramitas a little bit. Not so much in detail. I'm sure you have studied the paramitas. And you probably have some sense of what they're about. But I'd like to make some general remarks. So the question that brings many of us to practice, and that is perhaps the most important question in our life, is how shall we live? What is important to us? How shall we conduct ourselves? How shall we relate to other people? You know, when we're young, we get almost pushed along by events, by a normal development. We go to school, we get a degree, we have a job, we get married, we have children. So it goes on, step by step, and it's a traditional path, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's just that you can let yourself be pushed along by the next thing that is expected without ever thinking about it, without ever saying, what am I doing? What is this all about? Why am I doing what I'm doing? So, in this country, we're very lucky. We have the opportunity to make a choice. We can choose how we want to live. You know, in more traditional societies, that is not always the case. Children do what their parents did. The men provide for the family, and the women have the children, and raise the children, and take care of the house. And that's been like that for centuries. And it still is that way today. So the idea of choice doesn't really come up in many places in the world. But that's not so here. So in that sense, we are very lucky, I feel. But of course, it's also difficult to make a choice. So this consideration of how shall I live, it sets in motion a deep consideration of what is important. What do I want to do with my life? How can I live in a more conscious and perhaps more deliberate way instead of just following the crowd or following along an expected path? And this is where the paramitas come in. And The word paramita is often translated as perfection. And I don't think it's a very felicitous translation, because it sounds like being perfect. Not supposed to become perfect or something. So, the word perfect implies that something is sort of in an end stage, in a static stage that does not require any more development or improvement. And that is not the case with the perfections. So the practice of the six perfections is a continual process towards a more conscious and deliberate way of living. In that sense, the practice of perfection is vitally connected to our daily life. It isn't just connected, it is our daily life. So the perfections are not really something that are given to us from on high in the form of commandments that we need to obey. That's not the way it is. So the search for enlightenment goes back to the Buddha himself. Early Buddhist scriptures name five perfections that we're supposed to cultivate. And they are faith, energy, mindfulness, meditation, and insight. Now, what is interesting to note here is that these are personal qualities that we're supposed to cultivate within ourselves in order to live an enlightened life. There are many people who go to other countries, to Eastern countries, to search for enlightenment. And they search for, or they seek something that I guess they feel they can't find here. Some unity with God, or the sacred, or the divine. There are different words for it. But that's not what the Buddha is talking about. The Buddha is talking about here and now, today, in San Jose, not somewhere else. This is where we live, and this is where we practice the perfections. So it is not so much transcendental experiences that we are after. We are after a conscious and deliberate life. So this is the early Buddhist teachings, these five perfections. And then the later development, the Mahayana development, added a sixth one. So there is now what we commonly refer to as the six paramitas, and they are generosity, morality, tolerance, energy, meditation, and wisdom. So what's different about these, as opposed to the prior ones, is that they not only include our personal character development that we need to work on, but our relationship with others. generosity, of course, we are generous with ourselves too, but mostly generosity is directed towards others. And morality is directed towards not doing harm and hurting other people's feelings or bodies. So whereas the earlier Buddhist practitioners looked for enlightenment mostly for themselves, the Mahayana takes a larger view. The Mahayana practitioners encourage us, encourage themselves and encourage us today to be concerned with others. To the same extent, or even to a greater extent, than we are concerned with ourselves. So it is important to remember that these six paramitas are not a means to an end. It is not like we practice the paramitas today and then we get enlightened. The practice of these paramitas is the ideal state of a human being, and their practice is itself enlightenment. So the perfections are both the goal and the path. So you have studied Dogen a little bit, and there is one section that he wrote under the title, Guidelines for Studying the Way. And in it, right at the beginning, he says, we should arouse the thought of enlightenment. So if we ask ourselves this important question of how we can live a conscious and deliberate life, we are arousing the thought of enlightenment. For us, in our life, in each of our lives, there are probably things that we can think of that we might do better. Perhaps there is conflict in our family that we could work on to eliminate or to alleviate. We could try to live in harmony with people that we encounter every day, and perhaps that we don't respect very much or like very much. Or we could be more understanding, more helpful, rather than being judgmental. So why does Dogen call it the thought of enlightenment? Because we want to manifest the basic qualities of wisdom and compassion. And the practice of the paramitas helps us to do that in our everyday life. So ordinarily we have a very strong and deeply ingrained self of me. This is who I am. These are the things that belong to me. I worked for them. I paid for them. They're mine. I have a right. I am entitled. And the more we insist on those ideas and feelings, the more separate we feel. So the kind of wish to do something better in our life is an aspiration. And unless we feel such aspiration in our heart, we won't practice. To arouse the thought of enlightenment, we have to have an aspiration to lead an authentic and selfless life. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. But we also know that the thought alone is not enough. We need to actually do something. If you want to lose weight, the thought alone is powerless. It won't lose you an ounce. So you have to figure out a way to do it, and then take steps to do it. If we want to alleviate conflict in the family, we need to figure out a way to do it, and then take steps to actually do it. So if we want to live a meaningful and authentic life, we need to think about how this can be done and then take steps to do it. It won't happen on its own. So in order to make something better, we need motivation and energy and effort and faith that it can be done. But we also need to consider our individual circumstances and capabilities. If we set the goal too high so that it's unattainable, we're probably not even going to try, or we'll give up pretty quickly. So we need to ask ourselves, is this something I can accomplish? Is this doable for me, given my present circumstances and my present abilities? So the paramitas are given to us not as abstract or rigid commandments, but as guideposts to look at our own life and to see how we're living. Are we living in accordance with how we want to live? The interpretation of the paramitas is largely up to us. The thought of enlightenment takes many different forms, depending on where we are in life and what is possible for us at the moment. And it is good to remember that the practice of the paramitas, the practice of wisdom, is endless. We never get to the end. We never can say, oh, I have accomplished this and now there's nothing more to do. The longer we travel the path of enlightenment, the more we see and the more we can envision an even greater expression of wisdom than what we are currently capable of. It's a little bit like science, you know. You solve one mystery and five new ones open up. So in raising the thought of enlightenment, we choose what kind of life we want to live. We don't want to simply be pushed along by other people's expectations that we have somehow internalized and think this is what we should do. We want to have some conscious input into how we live. So by cultivating the perfections, we manifest our inherent enlightenment in our daily life. Does anybody have a question? Yes, Brian.
Where does this aspiration come from? I think none of us would show up, you know, at a zendo and spend an hour, sometimes a comfortable position, if they didn't. I think we're all drawn to the practice for whatever reason, through our life circumstances or karma or fate or whatever. Beyond that, sounds like there's something that we need to do to sort of crowd ourselves on, you know, get a little more enthusiasm sometimes.
Well, your first question was, where does the aspiration come from? I don't know.
I sort of tried to answer it.
It comes from inside somewhere. It comes from the depth of your being. It comes on its own. And then you can help yourself along by expending a little effort, by coming to the Zendo every week, not saying, oh, I don't feel like it today, I don't want to go. You know, be there. So then the paramitas come into play, where you make a little effort. Effort is one of the paramitas. You make an effort.
I think somewhere else he said that you never lose thought of this. I mean, really just dedicate yourself minute by minute.
That would be wonderful if we could do that.
Yeah, I think I recall. I don't have a
at hand. Well, that sounds very much like Dogen, and maybe we need to live in the monastery to do that. But it is true that we are easily distracted, and we give in to our distractions instead of saying, no, I think I want to read a book or think about my life or think about how I can do something better. We go to the movies instead. And again, there's nothing wrong with it. It's okay to go to the movies every now and then, but there's only so much time. In the 2 hours at the movies, you probably don't think about how you could live your life in a different way. Yes?
Why do we give in to the distraction?
Excuse me, I didn't hear the question.
Why do we give in to the distraction? I want to say we don't take ourselves very seriously. We fritter away our time. Time is precious. And the older you get, the more you see that, you know, time is not endless for us here. So make use of the time that you have. And don't be foolish, throwing it away on something that's not important. And a lot of distractions are unimportant if you really think about it. You know, we are all very enamored these days with our gadgets, you know. How much of that is really important? How much is throwing away time on something unimportant? You're stealing from yourself when you throw away time. Yes.
So, when the worldly dharmas are always pulling at me, they're always out there, all lit up like neon, constantly. Actually, I think sometimes a good movie is an opportunity to see the Dharma. But I find that the paramitas are very helpful as my antidotes to all that stuff that wants to keep me from my practice. So that's Ryan.
Thank you. We're not expected to be perfect. Every one of us throws time away every now and then. It's a matter of how much. Are you taking yourself seriously enough to say, no, I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to do something that will benefit me or will benefit someone else, rather than engaging in some unimportant in activity that makes no difference to you or others. And you're right, a good movie, a piece of theater, music, they can all help to open up some some inner space that will lead you to yourself. That, by the way, that's my definition of a good movie. If it leads you to yourself rather than away from yourself. Too bad there aren't more movies like that around. Yes, sir.
I think to add to what General being said, if I may, it seems to me like many of the distractions we have nowadays do not ask us to think about ourselves. They ask nothing from us and give us pleasure, energy, desire. They satisfy some triviality about us. And it sounds like the paramitas are a way of practicing what Western philosophy called the examine of life. There are, of course, movies or books or things along those lines that force us to examine ourselves. And it seems like it would be very much to say that the paramitas ask us to do the hard thing rather than the easy thing.
Absolutely, very correct, yes.
So is your group still meeting Thursday evenings?
Yes.
At 7?
At 7:10.
7:07. That's on 5th
and Jackson, Chamberlain, Japan. There's a website. It's called Middle Ways In. And the website is middlewaysin.org. Mm-hmm. And you can find all the information.
Did you say
5th
and Jackson?
Yes.
Yeah, if you have an art gallery kind of thing, it's a front, easy to find.
Yeah. So look at the website and come somewhere.
Or some Thursday.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.